This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Helping you navigate the cyber world more easily and safely, we discuss on today's This Week in America with Google's Director of Account Security and Internet Safety Expert, Mark Risher. He holds numerous patents and inventions in anti-spam, phishing detection, and account security. His job, protecting users around the Internet from advanced attacks of all kinds. He'll share Google's top tips for Internet safety and privacy, why unique passwords for your accounts are essential, why and how to keep your software up to date, adding two-step verification for further protection, and how to talk with children early about online safety and setting up digital ground rules in your household. Internet safety expert Mark Risher next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this. Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Helping you navigate the cyber world more easily and safely, we discuss on today's This Week in America with Google's Director of Account Security and Internet Safety Expert, Mark Risher. He's worked in cybersecurity for over a decade, protecting some of the largest online properties. Mark holds numerous patents for inventions in anti-spam, phishing detection, and account security. With tips for Internet safety and privacy, Mark Risher with us on This Week in America. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me here, Rick.
Coming up on Safer Internet Day, February 5th, really an excellent time to reassess our online activities and literally what in a few moments we all can strengthen our online security.
That's right. So it's a great time for people to remember and to pay attention to steps that they can take to stay safer online. There's news seemingly every day about breaches, hacks, compromises, and we want to help people avoid that and understand what few steps they should take to get themselves into a better place.
Talk about every day. It's almost literally every hour we find out something new that we need to do to protect ourselves. And you've got a number of tips, and we'll have a website later where you can get more information on these tips. But one you say is very important, keeping your software up to date. That may be something that some of us put off, especially if it's not automatic. Talk about the importance in getting that done, getting that up to date.
That's right. There are, as you said, there's constantly new vulnerabilities being discovered. And the problem is that once updates are made available, not everyone installs them, meaning that they remain vulnerable for much longer than they could or should. So you mentioned automatic updates. Google products will automatically update themselves, so we know you're always getting the latest and greatest. But for other software that you have or other phones that you have, it's important that users don't ignore and don't put off that little reminder that shows up, but instead install these security updates as soon as possible.
So that's one of the advantages of a Chrome browser, because that updates itself, correct? I don't have to worry about that.
That's right. That's something we did in Chrome browser from the beginning. It was sort of controversial at the time, but it's proven to be a best practice that many, many other companies are now following. You don't want to leave things to, human weakness. I get busy, you get busy. But instead, ensure that the computer is automatically keeping itself up to date and getting those latest and greatest security protections.
One of the tips, and probably many of us are guilty of this, it's so much easier to remember one password, maybe use it on several accounts, maybe use it on a lot of accounts. That really is increasing our risk for a breach, isn't it?
That's right. That's one of those, the law of unintended consequences. That for years, we in the industry have been saying you need to have capital letters, lowercase letters, numbers, symbols, punctuation. But the problem is that leads people to create this favorite password that they then reuse on every single site. And the problem with that is that then if any site gets broken into, this super strong secure password you created is now out there in the wild for all sorts of attackers to use. So instead, what we recommend is a unique and distinctive password in every site. And that's where we built some tools that help people do that. The Chrome web browser itself memorizes your password and will help you automatically fill it in on each site. So that means you don't have to keep it in your memory. The computer does it for you. And then on Safer Internet Day, we're releasing a tool called Password Checkup that will warn you if the password you're about to use has been leaked or compromised out there on the dark web so that you can change it and take appropriate steps to lock yourself down again.
With us on the program, Mark Risher, Google's Director of Account Security and Internet Safety Expert as well. You talk about having a Google security checkup. How do we go about doing that? Because this really gives us a lot of information, which I understand is all personalized for each of us as individual users and actionable as well.
That's right. We know people are busy. We know that they're looking for simple instructions on how to stay safe online. And so we built that Google security checkup to be really a one-stop shop for your online safety. It's easy to remember the URL. It's g.co/security checkup. And what that'll do is walk you through personalized recommendations and advice based on who you are, how you browse the internet, what kind of devices and software that you have, so that you can take the minimal steps necessary to get into that best secured state.
And you can link on to all this information, the tips we're talking about on today's program, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. All the Google addresses you need, websites you need, URLs to get all of this information. Here's something probably a lot of us are guilty of as well, taking the time to set up a recovery phone number and email address. That's one of those that's like, okay, I really should do that. Tell us why it's important for us to do that. Eventually, it's going to save us some time in the long run and possibly some very serious problems.
That's right. Serious problems indeed. So the recovery phone number is one of the things that security checkup will lead you to, and it really helps in two ways. One of them is if you should forget your password or lose your laptop, leave it behind at school or what have you, then recovery phone number gives you a way to get back into your account. But perhaps even more important is that it gives us a secondary security mechanism if we're ever in doubt. So if someone tries to log in, claims to be Rick, and maybe knows Rick's password, but we're suspicious, we can send a confirmation to your phone to confirm that it really is you. That second layer, people might also know it as second factor authentication, gives you dramatically stronger protections against somebody who's breached your password and is able to break into your account.
We'll talk about that two-step verification. That's another one we hear a lot about, and probably many people are like, you know, someday I really need to do that. How do we go about doing that? And that does give us another layer, doesn't it?
It does give another layer. It means that knowledge of your username and password alone is not enough, and so that can dramatically reduce the possibility of someone breaking into your account. Turning it on, very simple. On Google itself, it's google.com/two-step. But many other sites now offer this, many other products offer that, and it is a worthwhile step for people to take. On Google, you don't necessarily have to. We mentioned before that recovery phone number will provide effectively dynamic two-factor authentication, but it's always useful for people to consider this and to look at it, particularly on all the sensitive sites that they're utilizing.
And you talk about taking this time now, especially with Safer Internet Day, to talk to children about online safety, set digital ground rules for them as well. You've got some tools available that will make this very easy to do.
We do. Google knows that family safety is more than just online security. It's also problems like cyberbullying, kid safety, privacy, oversharing. And so we packaged it together on something Google calls Be Internet Awesome. So it's a site that's got tools and information for both kids and adults that'll help them stay safe online. It's got this educational game called Interland, where kids themselves they pilot a spaceship through the cyberspace and they learn about all these different safety tips. And then it's got information for parents and even lesson plans for teachers to help spread awareness and help people to stay safe online across all different ages and all different families.
In fact, you talk about when you don't really provide the proper framework, the groundwork for your child as they're getting onto the internet, that's like giving them the keys to the car without ever having a driver's license.
That's right. There is a risk. I mean, obviously, there's tons of tremendously valuable information out there, whether educational or entertainment, and we want kids to be able to use that, but it's important that they understand what they're getting into, they understand some of the ground rules, like you said, and that they know how to stay safe and respectful as they're navigating around. You know, one example is actually YouTube. So lots and lots of parents give their kids a tablet or a phone to play YouTube on. We've built a special app called YouTube Kids. It's available for iPhone, Android, iPads, all these different devices. And it allows things, including setting a screen time limit, which is really nice for parents because the kid doesn't yell at you, the app enforces it itself. And then you can also steer children towards trusted video and ensure that they're only seeing age-appropriate content instead of everything that's out there that may not be what you want your 6-, 7-, 8-year-old looking at.
And you also have a Family Link app as well. Talk about that, because this is really valuable for a parent.
That's right. Family Link is pretty amazing, actually. It allows parents to supervise what their kids are doing online, but with the right kind of parameters. So things like screen time that I mentioned is one option, limiting the apps that they can install or confirming before they install a new app, and even things like, with the appropriate consent, being able to track locations so you can find your kids in the event of an emergency. That's all available through that Family Link app, which is available both for iPhone and Android.
We've got about a minute or so left in the program. I mentioned in the beginning, one of the things you do, you protect users around the world using the Internet from advanced attacks of all kinds. And I'm thinking as I'm typing that, how advanced are these getting? It appears, at least with phishing that I'm getting, it used to be you knew right away because the logo was wrong, the spelling was bad. These have really become sophisticated, haven't they?
That's right. Sophisticated, or at least very, very convincing. Phishing attacks are still, unfortunately, one of the major techniques used by attackers. We actually built a product at Google for high-risk individuals, people like politicians, elected officials, journalists, celebrities. It's called the Advanced Protection Program, because we wanted to bundle up our strongest security offerings in one package so that those individuals could be the most protected and most assured. So the Advanced Protection Program, for people maybe listening today who are in that high-risk category, is another free option. g.co/advancedprotection is the link for that. It helps defend against these increasingly sophisticated and targeted attacks, like you mentioned.
I'm going to take 30 seconds here. How frustrating is that for you? You go into work and it's like, okay, we nailed that. We shut that down. People are aware of it. We're blocking it. And then 5 minutes later, you find out somebody else is penetrating somewhere. How frustrating is that? It's like a never-ending battle, it seems like.
Yeah, unfortunately, security is not something that you solve. It's something that you continue to advance. And we keep building the walls higher, and the attackers keep trying to find ways to get through. That's why Google invests so considerably. I've got a huge team that's working around the clock in many different countries so that we're constantly monitoring, studying, surveying, and building defenses against the latest attacks that people have to worry about so that your listeners don't have to themselves. They just take the security checkup and know they're in the right settings.
Interesting conversation. Mark Risher, our guest on the program, Google's Director of Account Security, Internet Safety Expert. We're talking about Safer Internet Day. It should be every day out of the year, but here's a day to really step back and reassess. All the information we talked about today, you'll find links to at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Mark, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the chance.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this. Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Back for a new season, TLC's ever-expanding family, counting on Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific. Following the oldest Duggar children, the famous clan from the hit series 19 Kids and Counting, as they begin their lives as adults and start families of their own. We see Ginger Duggar and her husband Jeremy Volo navigate being new parents. Ginger, the sixth of 19 children, fourth oldest daughter, a television personality since 2004, accomplished pianist, co-author, along with her sisters Jana, Jill, and Jessica, of the highly acclaimed book Growing Up Duggar, It's All About the Relationships. Jeremy, a standout college soccer player, senior year at Syracuse, named the team MVP, played for Major League Soccer and North American Soccer League, now a full-time pastor and reality TV star. Ginger and Jeremy actively involved in SWAN. That's an organization for children affected by parental incarceration, providing free music lessons, ensemble training, performance opportunities, and mentoring. SWAN was founded in 2011 by Diana Volo, an accomplished violinist, music instructor. She's executive director of SWAN and Jeremy's mother. TLC's counting on a brand new season, Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific, and Ginger, Jeremy, and Diana, Felicity's mom, dad, and grandmother, joining us on This Week in America. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Rick. Thanks so much for having us.
It is a pleasure talking about all that's going on in everybody's lives right now. First of all, how did your lives change, all of you, on July 19th of last year?
Well, it changed for the much, much better. We welcomed our little daughter, Felicity, into this world, and it has been a nonstop joy. This little girl looks like and acts like her mother, and so it's been really amazing.
Is anybody getting any sleep? Usually it takes a while before the baby sleeps all night and mom and dad can get some sleep, usually doing that in shifts for a while. Anybody getting any sleep, and do you care if you don't?
We are getting sleep at this stage. We're really thankful. Felicity is a really easy baby, and so it's been good. She's allowed us to get lots of good sleep. Of course, there are nights here and there, but she's been good for the most part.
And Diana, what's this been like for you? I understand this is your first grandchild.
Oh, yes. It's been a pure joy. It's been a little hard because there's a lot of distance between us, Jeremy and Ginger being in Texas and I being in the Philadelphia area. But we manage. We visit as much as we can, and we, of course, visit on the phone.
You know, it's nice now you've got Skype, yeah, and things like that, so you can sort of stay in touch. When our kids were little with grandparents, it was sending Polaroids back and forth, so times have changed.
That's right.
Times have changed dramatically. Now you've got almost that instant contact out there. Ginger, we all sort of got to watch what you were going through during this whole intense delivery. What was that like with the fan reaction? Because everything I've read, they feel like Felicity is theirs as well.
It was definitely an interesting time. Having grown up with a lot of siblings around, seeing my mom be pregnant, you know, for many years, it was like, okay, you knew what to expect, or so you thought. Walking through that experience for myself the first time, it's amazing. Just having my mom there support me and my sister, then my in-laws, it was just amazing thing just to experience for myself and welcoming our first little one into the world. It was definitely incredible, something that you can't even describe the amount of joy and love that surrounded it.
Jeremy, talk about sort of navigating through some of the challenges of being, especially a first-time parent, because you don't know quite what to expect. You've got the church where you're involved as a pastor, so everybody's trying to juggle everything. Priority number one, of course, is Felicity. Talk about trying to navigate that, especially for new parents for the first time.
It's been really interesting because a lot of people tell you what to expect and what you've got to know, but there's nothing like experiencing it yourself.
Yes.
And I was amazed at the natural instincts of fathering that just appeared in me. I mean, it was really strange to me. Just first of all, the love. You can't anticipate the love for this child that you're going to feel and have. But then more than that, just the instinctual desire and ability to care for her. And so it's been a change, yes. But it hasn't felt like this big juggling act. It's kind of been just this smooth transition, which feels quite natural. It feels like, well, this is what you do next, and you've got a little daughter now, and so life may slow down at times, life may speed up at times, but I've felt, anyway, I don't know if this has been others' experience, but I just felt this natural instinct kick in, and it's pretty much been a smooth ride, I would say.
It's interesting you talk about it. It's sort of a natural process. So it's not like a checklist that somebody gives you and you've got to do these right things to be a good father. They just sort of happen, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's like nobody has to tell you, hey, if the baby's upset, get up and go check on her. Or you just do it, you know, and it's like you just shift into another gear.
This is amazing, watching this all unfold on Counting on TLC, back for a brand new season. So much going on. This seems like this family never quite slows down. More changes and surprises on the horizon for this season. What can we expect to see Ginger in season four? There's a lot coming up yet, isn't there?
There definitely is a lot of exciting things coming up. John David and Abby, you get to see their wedding. And then Josiah and Lauren as newlyweds, they head off to Austria for their honeymoon. And then Ben and Jess, they're raising their two little boys, Henry and Spurgeon, so it's just nonstop adventure, fun, you get to see and be a part of. And then also, there's a scene that I think just moved us definitely, and I think with Josiah and Lauren, they open up and share just the struggles of life and the circumstances that surround the hardest season of their lives, and so encourage you to tune in and see it.
And that's TLC's hit series Counting On, Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific. I mentioned all of the involvement the entire family has now in working with SWON, which was introduced to the country, featured on the Counting On segment, I think it was August of last year. Diana, you had a really distinguished performing career, professional career beginning Carnegie Hall International Concert Tour with the Concerto Soloist of Philadelphia after that, but you've always been a teacher. What was the inspiration in founding SWON?
Oh, thank you for asking. The inspiration were twofold. Number one, I had grown up in a rather difficult circumstances, and so I scaled my own walls through music. And then I've been a teacher for 40 years, and I've seen the impact that music has on a child's life. My children were very successful, my students were, and my husband's a pastor and counsels criminal offenders. And that's where I got introduced to children who are affected by parental incarceration for the very first time. I did a little research, and to my surprise, 1 in 14 children in the United States has had a parent either in state or federal prison at some point in their lives. That's more than 5 million children affected in the United States.
Yeah, I saw that statistic, and that was hard to believe. 1 out of 14 are impacted by this.
Absolutely. This is a group of children that are rather invisible to our country. So I want to highlight their plight. And it's something we can help solve. Sadly, when a parent goes to prison, their children suffer physically, mentally, emotionally. They may experience the trauma of separation and abandonment, as well as homelessness, continued or deepening poverty. And you see, these things result in behavioral issues and substandard academic performance. And yet, their circumstances do not need to define who they are. SWAN stands for Scaling Walls a Note at a Time. We're a support group, but we provide those free music lessons, ensemble training, performance opportunities. And why? Because research underscores how music is one of the finest disciplines to help children succeed.
You're doing wonderful work, and the website, by the way, is swanforkids.org. You can find all the information there on the organization. I got about a minute left in the program, going by way too quickly here with Ginger and Jeremy. Let's talk about the platform you have. This is not just people watch in and sort of be entertained by watching you and all of the family members grow up. You really have a chance to touch lives. For example, with SWAN, bringing that message out to people and emphasizing the importance of faith and family. I'm assuming this is a very important platform for both of you, the TV program.
It is. As we look around our world, there is a lot of negativity. And you look around and you see the hate, you see the damage that's being done, you see, you know, there's a lot of strife. And here the Lord has provided us a platform to share our lives with others, and we want to use that positively. We want to use that to obviously glorify the Lord, but also to impact lives. And so Ginger and I are passionate about SWAN because, like my mother said, these children are invisible, and yet there's something we can do to change and alter their lives. There's an impact story of a young girl named Brianna, and we unfortunately don't have time today, but to hear this story, which you can see at swanforkids.org, and to see how her life will forever be changed.
It's just amazing. Yes, the work that you're doing and the platform that you have to do this. We're talking about TLC's hit series Counting On. New season, Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific. Ginger Jeremy with us on the program. Diana Volo, Jeremy's mother and the executive director, founder of SWAN. Time has gone by way too quickly. It's been great having all of you with us on the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this. Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us on the program today online, thisweekinamerica.us. It seems like everywhere we look, athletes well past the so-called peak age are not just staying competitive, but dominating.
Tom Brady, Serena Williams, LeBron James, Michael Phelps, Roger Federer, just to name a few. It's a new era for older athletes. So what's going on? Well, answers in the new book, Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age by journalist Jeff Borcovici. Eliminating the science and strategies behind the biggest story in sports, Jeff spent time with numerous professional and Olympic athletes, coaches, trainers, doctors, visiting training camps, hospitals, anti-aging clinics, even trying out the latest cutting-edge training methods and technologies. How sports science, technology, extending the careers of elite older athletes, and what it means for the rest of us. Jeff has been a print journalist for over 15 years, currently the San Francisco Bureau Chief for Inc., covering technology and entrepreneurship. Prior to Inc., he was a senior editor and writer at Forbes, written for The New York Times, GQ, Playboy, Details, Glamour, many others. Numerous TV appearances, CBS Evening News, Today's Show among them. Author of Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age, Jeff Borcovici, with us on This Week in America. Jeff, a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
This is a fascinating book, and it starts off with a little bit of background here. When you started paying attention to the way athletes are aging, when you started playing league soccer in your early 30s, and you realized you're injured more, and it's taking you longer to get back into shape.
Yeah, that was pretty much the story, and that's, you know, the story I think is familiar to a lot of people.
Yes.
who have tried to pursue sports in any kind of serious way. Once you're on the other side of 30, for me, I kept getting injured. I was playing, you know, two or three times a week, and really enjoying focusing on improving my performance, but my body just kept getting in the way to the point that I suffered a pretty catastrophic injury to my back that I needed emergency surgery for, and I had to take a long time off. And it was kind of when I was recuperating that I had this. I just started paying a lot of attention to this phenomenon in the sports world that you just laid out, of all of these athletes having these amazing late career performances, and there was some information floating around. You know, you would hear a snippet of this guy is on a new diet that he says turning around his performance. You know, this athlete is getting some kind of new experimental treatment for knee cartilage in Germany, and I'm reading all of these things and saying, well, you know, what's true here? You know, what's based on real science? What's a bunch of hype or voodoo? And of the stuff that's real, what is available to somebody, you know, an average person like me who doesn't have the resources of a professional athlete?
You know, it's amazing how open many people were in talking to you about this. And you start in the introduction of the book. You're at a 31,000 square foot, $10 million state-of-the-art training and wellness facility called Exos. Talk about that, because this really is a gathering point for a lot of athletes as they're about to getting in preparation for the new season to begin.
Yeah, that's what was happening when I was at, during my visit. It was Exos, it was their flagship clinic in Phoenix. They have a chain of them all around the country, and it was just a couple weeks before the start of the NFL season, so there were a bunch of pretty famous NFL players going through a workout when I was there. There was LeSean McCoy was there, Colin Kaepernick. This was when he was still in the league, and he was just he lifted every single piece of metal in the gym multiple times. I think that guy was a real workout freak. So that was really valuable, getting some, you know, up close insight to seeing how these players trained. And it was not necessarily what I expected in a lot of ways either. It was you know, I really got a sense of, you know, there's this, as a consumer of sports media, there's this image that's peddled of how athletes work out that's all about kind of unrelenting intensity and, you know, drops of sweat flying off them and, you know, screaming at the weights as they lift
yes.
them. But for these pros, it's much more about precision and quality of movement and, you know, they're very deliberate in everything they do.
In the book, you talk a lot about the new training paradigms, and one concept you talk about is the accumulation of fatigue, called the greatest threat to athletes' health and performance. Talk about that. They're really innovative ways that trainers, athletes, medical doctors are looking at this whole process. Like you say, the way we did this 10, 15 years ago, that's dramatically changed.
Exactly, and I think it is an appreciation for the effects of fatigue on an athlete's performance, on an athlete's injury risk, and therefore on an athlete's career longevity. That has really been the big difference in thinking about athletic conditioning over that period of time, and that is probably more than any other one single factor responsible for this longevity boom that we're seeing, and the higher, the better performances of athletes later in their careers. Basically, you know, it's been very well understood for a long time that that fatigue, you know, that you have to manage your fatigue to achieve performance. That's called, it's called periodization is the technical name for a structured training program that allows for athletes to sort of break down their bodies, but then build them up to a higher level over a period of time. The problem is it's been very difficult in certain sports to apply that model. You know, you have something like the NBA where, you know, they're playing 82 games a year and then the playoffs and it goes for 9 months a year. You know, there's not really a chance that athletes have to rest and recover in that period of time. So basically before about 15 years ago, that just wasn't happening. What you were seeing, the common approach to this in sports was, okay, these guys are gonna challenge, you know, their bodies are really gonna be challenged and broken down during the season. So that means what we need to do during the preseason is just work them that much harder,
yes.
Break them down so much that that anything that happens subsequently, you know, their bodies are prepared for. Well, that turns out to have been a terrible approach. and about 15 years ago is when Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs, started saying, hey, maybe what we actually need to do is give them more of a chance to rest and recover. You know, even if a player's not injured, even if they're not, you know, driven into the ground, we should give them, build in some extra breaks for them during the season. So he starts resting his healthy players. It's wildly controversial at the time. I mean, the league was fining him tens of thousands of dollars at a time for doing this because they thought it was, you know, depriving the fans of the players they were paying to see. But it was so immensely successful in terms of bringing down the team's injury rate, bringing up their win rate, and especially allowing them to do all this with players that were with the oldest roster in the league season after season, it just couldn't be ignored. So now every NBA team copies this, and you're starting to see it spreading in other sports. You know, look at the way that Roger Federer now takes off the entire play season to recover so that he can compete better at Wimbledon. That's the new paradigm that I'm talking about.
The book we're talking about is Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. Jeff Berkovici, our guest on the program today, the author. The book is available wherever books are sold. If you go to the website thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to get information on the book. Jeff's last name is Berkovici. You get the books available, like I say, wherever books are sold. It's interesting when you look at this, the whole concept here of what the athletes are doing and doing differently. You talk about chunking. Talk about the importance of that, and processing speed is so important.
Yeah, chunking is a term that in cognitive neuroscience, basically it means it refers to the way that that brains group together different related pieces of information for faster processing. So, you know, if you look at a word, somebody who knows how to read looks at a word. You don't see the individual letters; you see the word. In a very similar way, an athlete who has enough experience in their sport, they perceive patterns rather than the individual components of those patterns. So, you know, if I'm a batter in baseball, and I see a second baseman start shifting over towards second base, I know that defense is probably playing the shift. And without having to look all over the field, I know where everybody is now lining up and how I want to play the next pitch. That chunking is something that happens through experience. The more, you know, the more experience you have in your sport, the more your brain is able to chunk these patterns together, and it produces much faster reaction time. So where you see this the most clearly is in a sport like football. You know, the more complexity there is in the sport, the more chunking matters. In football, the job of a quarterback in football is probably the most complex one in any major sport. So it's no coincidence that over the last couple decades, as NFL playbooks have gotten thicker and thicker and, you know, more and more complex, more receivers out there in the pattern, you've seen this amazing upward trend in the age of quarterbacks who make the playoffs. It's something like 2/3 of all of the quarterbacks who have ever reached the preseason after older than age 34 in the NFL has happened in the last 8 years. That's how powerful this effect is.
Yeah, and you wonder why somebody like Tom Brady continues to be effective and really showing no signs of slowing down. It goes back to the mind and being able to analyze the situation and the better to stay out of injury situations, obviously.
Yeah, there's a coach that I love. His name's James Galanis, and he's the personal coach for Carly Lloyd, probably the best women's soccer player in the world over the last few years. And he said, quick minds beat quick feet. And that's really true. And it's what you just alluded to about it also helping to keep athletes healthy is really interesting. There's some new science around that. Some new research that does suggest that faster cognitive processing actually allows athletes' bodies to react to situations, react to unpredictable situations in ways that prepare them fast enough to avoid injuries. Basically, your mental reaction time isn't fast enough to protect your body from something. From an oncoming impact that it doesn't expect. You need to have that that kind of unconscious reaction that comes from mental chunking, basically. So if you look at someone like Tom Brady, who has been amazingly resilient to injury, you know, he's only had one or two injuries that have cost him games over the course of his career. When people say, how is it that Tom Brady is able to stay healthy for so many years? Part of the answer actually seems to be because he's been playing football for so many years, which is totally counterintuitive.
Exactly. That's what's so fascinating with the book Play On. And it's interesting as you're reading, you understand that actually age can be a competitive advantage, can it?
In a ton of ways. In a ton of ways that aren't obvious. And of course, a lot of them have to do with mental performance. For instance, there's some fairly new research that has to do with emotional regulation in sports. So, emotional regulation is really important because excess, what psychologists would call arousal, basically, you know, intense emotion, is linked to things like choking or, what they call the yips in golf. A player who's an amazing free throw shooter, he seizes up and throws an air ball. We see a lot of that kind of thing in younger athletes, you know, especially in a sport like tennis. You know, look at so many of the greats who had to struggle to overcome these kind of epic meltdowns on the court when they were in their early 20s. So the evidence is that as an athlete gets older, they experience fewer and less intense unwanted emotions of the kind that interfere with performance. That's the kind of advantage that now that athletes are able to stay healthier longer, you're seeing those mental advantages be more determinative in the sports outcomes.
Another factor with science, when they do get hurt, talk about the surgical techniques now available, literally light years of where they were even just a few years ago. So you've got some injury that used to maybe be season ending. You'd be out for months. Now they're back a lot quicker.
They're back faster from every injury. I mean, you know, if you're talking about rehab protocols or what are often called return to play protocols, those are much faster than they used to be for a number of reasons. But one of the really interesting reasons has to do with what doctors call biologics. These are therapies like PRP, platelet-rich plasma therapy, stem cell therapies that use stem cells to regrow tissues like cartilage. That's one of the most interesting frontiers, and one that could make a huge difference in the next 10 years. I mean, there's even research going on into being able to 3D print new cartilage directly into a joint. The cartilage wearing down is one of the biggest physical factors that really limits the age of an athlete's career, because cartilage is a tissue that unlike something like muscle or bone, cartilage doesn't really heal very well. It doesn't regrow very well. But ironically, it's the same properties of cartilage that make it so bad at healing that make it relatively easy to 3D print. So that's something that could change athletes' futures dramatically. But even something like in surgery, you know, if you look at where ACL repair has come over the last 30 years, you know, an athlete like Adrian Peterson, if he had torn his ACL a generation ago, he probably would never have regained the same peak in his career, much less would he have had his best yes. season ever 9 months after a catastrophic injury to his knee. I mean, that's progress.
You're listening to This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. We're talking about the new book, Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. The author, Jeff Berkovici, with us on This Week in America. And we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this. Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
We're back This Week in America, talking about the new book, Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. Jeff Berkovici is the author of the book, a fascinating discussion. Let's talk a little, well, in fact, we've been talking about all the science and technology. Haven't even mentioned steroids. And for skeptics, when they see somebody playing a little bit longer than their career normally would have gone, they start saying, okay, steroids are involved. As athletes are finding out there are other ways to prolong your career rather than steroids, will we see less and less steroid use in sports?
I mean, obviously, I don't think steroids will ever go away.
Yes.
And if anything, as the financial rewards of sports have gotten larger, there's probably more incentive to do not just steroids, but you know, anything illegal that conveys an advantage. However, I do think this changed training paradigm that we were talking about, the idea that faster, higher, stronger isn't necessarily the way to win in a lot of sports, you know, that more isn't better, that there's no such thing as fitness without freshness. I think that changes the equation for a lot of athletes, where, you know, if the trend that sports were on a few years ago, that everybody needs to look like this kind of jacked up superhero, you know, I mean, look at the NBA. Everybody was putting on muscle, packing on as much muscle as they could for 20 years. Now the trend in the NBA is actually the players are dropping muscle because they say it makes them quicker. You know, being a little lighter means that there's less impact on their joints when they're jumping. I think that's a very promising trend that's probably causing athletes to feel less like they need help from steroids.
It's interesting, everyday athletes, and you mentioned that in the beginning of the program, weekend warriors, we don't have access to the best coaches, surgeons, nutritionists out there. We do have access to the book Play On, which would give us some motivation to continue doing that. Can athletic longevity, is that a skill that can be taught that we can all learn from?
Yes. I'm going to give a qualified yes.
Yes.
There are some genetic factors that determine that certainly influence how long an athlete's career is. You know, all the common sports injuries, many of them have a genetic susceptibility that you can now find out thanks to cheap and popular DNA tests. However, there do seem to be certain skills, you know, that also influence how long an athlete can last. One of the most interesting areas here has to do with movement science. There are a number of tech companies now that have different systems that are measuring an athlete's movement through things like 3D motion capture, which is a technology used to create video games, I mean computer animation. Or by having them jump off of force plates that measure the force that they put into the ground, or through other means, and they're analyzing it with machine learning algorithms to try to find patterns in movement that correlate to or that seem to cause injuries, and then they train the athletes to fix those movement patterns. Now, this is a science that is, I would say, in its infancy. It's early enough that you know, these companies' methodology is sort of don't necessarily agree with one another, and there's a certain amount of dispute over what the findings really mean. But as this technology matures, it in theory should be possible in the next few years for people who are injury prone to avoid, you know, in sort of a minority report style, to avoid injuries that otherwise they would have had, and thereby, you know, save themselves save themselves a lot of playing time, but also prolong their careers.
Now, in the book Play On, you say what's most exciting is not the gee whiz gadgetry or medical miracles just over the horizon, and we've talked about those, and it's going to be exciting. But you say it's the knowledge that we can harness today. Were you awestruck, maybe surprised, when you started doing the research and realized what is out there? When we see someone playing again longer than we expect them to, there are really scientific reasons why that's happening, and it's exciting to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I was excited. I personally, when I started this journey, which was almost 5 years ago, that I got interested in this topic and started researching it intensively, I thought that it was going to be a lot of these sort of gee whiz technologies.
Yes.
You know, I was reading about Kobe Bryant flying to Germany to get this secret treatment on his knee, and these clinics that supposedly had top secret methods they wouldn't talk about. The real story that I found was that that stuff exists and probably in the way of all advances in science and medicine will filter down to the general population in the next few years. There's so much that athletes are doing now that plays such a big role in extending their longevity and their health that is available to anyone.
The book we're talking about is Play On: The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. Jeff Bercovici is our guest on the program, the author. That's Bercovici. The book's available wherever books are sold. Of course, you'll find it at Amazon. You can link on directly to information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jeff, a fascinating book. Great to have you with us on the program. Thank you so much for being with us today.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.